You're in the whole 6010.
And welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. It is Monday, February 26th. My name is Daniel Dopp, and I'm here with my two best friends, who I feel like I have not seen in a very long time.
It's been
in
so
the same
long.
Room. Field, you have been doing so much draft prep. I've seen you all over our network, talking with Mel Kiper, getting us ready for all the draft stuff. So I know you're doing a lot with First Draft, but we haven't been able to do this show together. So I'm really pumped to see you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. You know, I was thinking about all those conversations we had going into last season, debating LeBron versus Steph Curry.
Oh, that was different.
What did we talk about again? Because it's been a long time.
Since we've seen you.
That is baseball. Yes.
It's coming up right now.
Yeah. We have some hockey talk.
That's right. Hey, make sure you check out the First Draft podcast, though, Fields. You and Mel are deep into all the draft content.
I will say this, like very selfishly, I think what I've realized is the two big buckets that I am now working in most primarily at ESPN are fantasy and the draft. And I will tell you, the beauty of these things is that when you're in the season of those, and I'll call the draft season basically the end of the fantasy football season all the way through the draft.
Yep.
Like, you're in this vortex, man. Like, you could tell me anything. You could tell me that here in Connecticut, it was 75 degrees yesterday, and I'd believe you, even though it was...
It is like 50 today.
Yeah, but it was like 12 yesterday, like, I would have no idea, because so much of my time these days feels like it's just watching players, trying to reorganize my board, and trying to get information on players as it pertains to medical and character and stuff that's not easily available on the film. In the same way that during fantasy football season, like... Sometimes I forget which teams are in first place because I'm so focused in on Devontae Adams' target share. Yep. I'm like, well, you know what? He continues to maintain a 29% target share despite the fact that Aiden O'Connell is very inefficient and the touchdowns have been down, right? You're like, oh, wait. It turns out that the Eagles are 10-1 right now. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of I tell you what, this is one of those things. You get so deep into the weeds on things. There's so much going on in your head. It's like, what are you supposed to do? Your head is just in a million different places. Like,
it is.
I'm assuming for you... Your head was in a bunch of different places this weekend as well, because a really cool race, finishing three wide in NASCAR.
Are we talking about NASCAR?
Did you see that? I mean, that was unreal.
You saw it. I'm surprised
watched
by
it.
That.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Maybe the best finish ever in NASCAR history.
Let's rank them here, Mike. Listen, if anybody here is listening to Fantasy Focus right now, we know that you're...
Fantasy.
No, we'll talk about fantasy football, of course, but like, you're hardcore. Yeah, if you're watching right now on YouTube, this is not the average show. This is not the person who just like stumbled upon us. These are our fans. These are the people that we love. These are the kind of people that if you see them in the street and they ask you to talk fantasy football, you're delighted to do that.
We're going
to
do a lot of that. Free agency episode.
We're going to debate Steph versus LeBron later and whose resume is more complete. And like a touch of Austin Eckler talk as well. But NASCAR stuff, like again, Vortex. I know the race got moved to Monday and all I heard was a cool finish. Tell me more about this.
Yeah, one, two, three, right next to each other, Atlanta finished at the line. That was the finish. So the official scoring between the top two, one guy was a little back, so you knew he didn't win, Kyle Busch. The other two, it was 0.00, and then you had to go to three to find out who won. That's how close it was.
Wow. It was 0.001 seconds apart.
0.003 seconds apart.
Oh, 0.003 seconds apart.
So Daniel Suarez, congratulations, got his second career win. It was awesome.
Just wow.
Awesome. So finish one of the best ever. Probably the best ever. Yeah.
Kind of like when Daniel was running that 40 time opposite of Tyreek Hill. It was like, he was 0.003 seconds slower.
0.003 million seconds.
Just like that. I had a really fun weekend too, for what it's worth. I just want to let you guys know, I went to a card show this weekend. I've really gotten into trading cards.
Yeah. Really? Right.
So it's been a ton of fun. A really
sports
fun hobby. Sports trading cards.
Okay, nice.
My dude's in East Granby up at Fearless Cards. I go up there a lot. My buddy Matt is a Lions fan as well, so I get to talk Lions stuff with him. But I've gotten into a ton of stuff with trading cards. It's been very fun to get into the hobby. So I did that this weekend, and it made me think about something that I thought was, to me, very fun.
Okay.
One of my favorite things is being able to either get autographs or patches from players, like a lot of times with rookies and stuff like that. So, Field, will you grab that Joe Burrow box right there? Inside of that, I want to open it up,
bro.
Because I got a pretty dope card.
No, you didn't.
That is a Field Yates.
Did you really get this?
Game used. It says subject used in memorabilia. That is a swatch from Field's shirt.
Which he's wearing right now.
I was going to say, wait,
that's
hold
actually
on.
Cut out of the shirt he's
you
wearing.
You actually
right
pulled this?
Yes, absolutely.
Dude, that's so sweet.
So I wanted to know.
Amazing. I have a backstory. Yeah.
I want to know, where did that shirt come from? Did you actually send in a shirt to them?
Okay, so first, I'm.
Amazing. Don't put that away. I'm going to ask you to sign that, by the way.
Of course, yeah. I usually sign these in either silver or blue, if you prefer. Yeah, I mean, the fine folks at Topps, incredibly honored that they asked me to do this a couple of years ago.
Alan and Ginter set.
Alan and Ginter collection. And what's cool is that they asked, they were like, hey, do you have anything that's like you've worn often or you feel like you would be willing to give up here? And Daniel, so here's the story behind this, is I have this jacket that if you're watching right now on YouTube, you can see it's kind of a gray and black checked jacket.
Yep.
I wore it a bunch of times on air and here at ESPN. And finally, I had a producer come up to me and just said, Field, like, hate to do this. This was like a while ago.
Sure.
I was young. I probably realized that like I didn't have like this extensive, I do not have Ryan Clark's closet at my disposal. Right. Okay. Or Barry Melrose, the great Barry Melrose, get well wishes, get well soon. And RC, big ups to you for the new contract.
Absolutely.
That they probably felt bad, but they're like, listen, that jacket,
it's gotta go.
Not right for the camera. Just like the patterns, just it hits light weird. So like it create almost like, it almost looked like a fuzzy sort of texture to it. Yeah. So I'm sure. Yeah. Lisa, our director is like, I know exactly what we're talking about.
I know.
So,
that's right.
So I was like, all right, well, of all the things in my closet that I can get rid of, I guess it's the one that I can't wear on air anymore. Right. So it was grainy.
That is actually a podcast worn shirt. That was used as a
Wow, well, that's what amazing. I wanted initially. I mean, you look closely at this pattern. I could see, is it say Hanes? This is underwear.
This, oh, wow. Yeah. I mean,
very clearly. This is not the collection you thought it was.
Do you have any other cards, Fielder? Is this your, would this be considered your rookie card?
This is my only card. So I guess my rookie, my only, my exclusive. And I have to tell you this, and I don't know if this is going to only invite something that at first made me a little bit uneasy, but I signed a certain number of them for Topps. They had very specific collections and very specific instructions for those collections. Sure. You had to sign in different colors and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not kidding. I probably get somewhere between 2 to 3 cents to my house per week.
Shut up.
Unsigned ones. People asking, and they're always very kind.
That's amazing.
And I just never knew how sort of ardent the passion was card collectors.
Card collecting, especially over COVID, got very big, especially within the sports world. So it's been a thing. I've loved being able to dive into it. I'm going to put a bunch of stuff that I have in my collection on Instagram and Twitter.
Oh, dude,
one of those is going to be a signed RPA as a part of it. So
I heard a signed version of that card is worth in the one figures.
It is not. I'm not going to sell it on eBay because I won't get a lot for it. But it'll be in my personal collection.
Let me tell you something. I believe it is on the one figures. Does that mean like $1? I think it's actually 50 cents because
49.
I think the word got out to my family. Like I think I just told one, like my brother or something, and he sent it to the family group thread and everybody was like, let me get one. And so I was like, I guess I have to go on eBay. And I literally bought like 20 of them.
Bought your own card off
for $8. So if you're looking for more, I think there are on eBay and I think they cost you, more in taxes than it does the actual purchase price.
To get it.
Yeah. Taxes the shipping. Like, it's a $10 total product. $9.72 is taxes and shipping.
That's amazing.
Great value right there.
Very, very, very fun.
You want me to keep it in this box?
You can just hold on to it for a second. We'll take care of it after the show.
People are like, all right, now we're sick of you.
Yeah, can we please talk about
soccer footballs?
And Mike did say we are going to talk about free agency. We got a bunch of guys potentially changing teams as a part of free agency. We have this every single year. I want to ask one real quick question before we get into this field, and you can tell me you're no longer in this world.
Okay.
I think you got a toe into it still.
Of course I am.
$30 million increase in the cap this year. Yeah. How is that potentially going to impact free agency in years that, like, we've never had a jump this big, right?
I was thinking about winners and losers in this $30 million free agency, cap space spike. Winners are everybody, right? Yes. Because everybody now has $30 million more. Winners include teams that have a debit that they still owe on their, you know, or like are going to be in debt, I should say, like the Saints and the Bills and the Broncos and some of these teams that were pressed up against the salary cap wall. Winners also include players who are excellent at their job, and we know that, and we know they're going to get paid. Their leverage just got that much more significant. If you're Justin Jefferson and you go to the Vikings and say, I want to beat the previous best wide receiver contract by $2 million, which is Tyreek Hill at 4 years, $30 million a year, they can't say to you, well, you know, it's hard to fit that in underneath
the
cap.
That's tough now.
Hard to do that, right? If you're Tua Tagovailoa and you're going to the Dolphins, you're on your fifth-year option, fully guaranteed, they're in a cap space pickle. Hey, just get me to 5 years, $50 million a year. I know that sounds gargantuan. But again, you just got $13 million more than people were forecasting and a most optimistic outcome. The only loser I could think of is the potential for competitive balance in the NFL. Because if there are people that would be turned off by the Chiefs potentially winning their fourth Super Bowl in 6 years, the extra cap space may mean them having the chance to keep a L'Jarius Sneed or a Chris Jones or both, or pivoting and adding other players at pivotal spots of need.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's going to be interesting. Maybe I almost wonder if team, you know, agents get aggressive, players get aggressive, say we want X, like you just pointed out. Our team's like, we're not doing it. And then we stir up more trades like a couple of years ago. And we see a whole bunch of trades. They're like, all right, we're not paying that.
Yeah. Because so, you remember that heavy trade off season came after the down season, or shortly after the down season of COVID, where money was gone. So it changed the way that teams are able to budget and afford players. So
huge spike.
It's good for everybody.
Yeah. I don't think anyone, obviously nobody was expecting it to be that big. So,
I mean, if you think about it though, like, you know, banner season for Fantasy Focus kind of adds up. The NFL reaped the rewards of that.
Absolutely.
Some of these guys are about to talk about the running backs here.
They might not be.
Well, I mean,
hopefully they get some.
They will.
Of it.
They will.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they should be a little bit worried about the market, of course, but maybe with all this extra money teams have, they might be more willing to say, all right, we're going to give Derrick Henry a 1 year, you know, expensive deal, we'll say.
Totally. Well, speaking of running backs, let's start there.
Let's do it. Yeah, we'll rip. We're going to rip through these.
Let's go, guys. Let's start with Josh Jacobs because this is a guy, so much usage. This is the one thing about him. Running back 17 last year, 13.9 fantasy points per game. Unfortunately, missed four games. It was the worst season of his career from a fantasy perspective, and it comes off the heels field of an RB3 season. So just talking about Josh Jacobs alone, before we talk about where he goes, is Josh Jacobs still closer to the RB3 season he had in 2022 or this RB17 season he had in 2023?
I think he's somewhere in the middle, depending on where he lands. A couple of things here also to add. Adam Schefter tweeted, I think right before we started this show, that the Raiders are not expected to use the tag on him. Mm-hmm. Would have been the second tag, even more expensive than just the first tag.
Yep.
The chances of him returning to to Las Vegas are still in play, but obviously if he wants to go to the open market, he now has a pathway to do that. I think Josh Jacobs is somewhere in between. It was kind of the perfect storm 2 years ago when he led the NFL in total touches. He was awesome in the passing game as well, and then scored more touchdowns in this past season. He's a good player, but his efficiency way dipped this past year. Yep. Career worst in terms of yards per carry, but I'd argue that Raiders offensive line was just basically a turnstile in multiple ways this past year, Mike.
Yep.
Yeah, well said. I mean, he's now 26 years old, probably has a couple of years left as a lead back. So I don't know if you guys did this, but I kind of projected landing spots.
I have a list of all these guys.
So I don't think I need to add much to that. Obviously, a bit down last year. We expect him to rebound to some extent. That was expected. Remember, guys that lead the NFL in yards and touches like that tend to come back to earth, miss some games. So that's not shocking.
Wait, who was talking about that in August?
We all were. I mean, that's at this point, it happened to Christian McCaffrey, leading the train.
He was still good. I know, but you were getting raked over the coals for that.
Nonetheless, good player.
Only 26 years old. I mean, I know he's got a lot of usage, but only 26.
Yeah, for
is he only 26
years,
or is he already 26 in Mike's book? Right?
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. Entering his age 26 season.
That's the way to do it.
That's how I'm looking at this. So probably he's a couple years as a lead back. So for my landing spot, I picked a team nearby, a team that has already talked extensively about running the football.
Yeah,
the Chargers.
I like that one.
The Chargers. I think if they move on from Austin Ekeler, they bring in Jacobs. Three down back. I think, by the way, I will say this. We'll get into this more throughout the offseason. More of a balanced offense. You look at the history of Jim Harbaugh when he was with the Niners. Actually a balanced offense. They ran a lot because they were ahead a lot, but they did not call a super run-heavy offense. So I won't get too caught up in that, but I think he's a good fit there with a team that wants to, we'll say, establish the run, but still be balanced.
Yeah. The only thing that I would say about all of these running back situations is that I think when I see people suggesting where various free agent backs should go, it's always like, yo, the Chiefs should sign Saquon Barkley, right? It's like, okay, first of all, no, the Chiefs have a good player in Isaiah Pacheco. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, people are like, send great running back to great team, maybe even on a one-year deal to revalue, to reestablish his value, and then he can profit and go to the moon. So, like, what I'm telling you people, which we'll get, of course, I'm sure it's the same one, but my point is that, like, I just don't think that the teams at the top are as inclined to spend big on running backs, especially on multi-year deals, because the reality for the Chiefs and the Lions and the Eagles and these teams that are very good, the Ravens, etc., is that they've got a lot of other players that far less fungible positions where they might have 3, 4, 5, 6 players making $20 million per year or more. And that, of course, includes a quarterback contract for almost all of those.
Yep.
That spending on running back is basically foolish.
So what's your pick? Where are you sending them?
Josh Jacobs, I like the Chargers one. I'm just going to piggyback on top of that
okay,
one.
Gotcha.
Because the every member who has spoken from the new Chargers brass has talked about the importance of being physical and the importance of, again, to your point, maybe it's a little bit of lip service, but establishing the run. And I think the Chargers feel is that it is easier to get back to credible and eventually become a winner by first building up the defense and playing ground control football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Not taking the reins off of Justin Herbert entirely. Yeah. I'm just saying that, like, they think it's easier to win football games that way than being the team that airs it out nonstop and plays decent defense.
By the way, plenty of teams that need a running back. I'm working on an article right now with some teams like the Cowboys, again, with Tony Pollard's a free agent. We'll get to that in a second. Cowboys, Giants, Chargers, Eagles, Raiders, Texans, Ravens potentially looking for a lead back, and it's not a good draft either. As you have pointed out in the past. So some of these guys like Jacobs, regardless of where he goes, he's going to be the lead back wherever that is, if it's back in with the Raiders or elsewhere. So,
well, speaking of the Chargers, obviously we know Jim Harbaugh coming in as the coach, Kellen Moore out as the OC. Now moving on to Philly with Greg Roman taking over there. Austin Eckler also probably no longer going to be a Los Angeles Charger field running back 20 this season.
Yeah,
it was a really tough one for Austin Eckler in spite of the last 2 years previous to that.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
He had 38 touchdowns over the last two seasons, only 6 this last year. So how are you approaching Austin Eckler knowing that he is going into his age 30 season here?
This to me feels like a one-year deal somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. Because coming off of this past season, if he's getting a multi-year contract, it's probably more team-friendly than it is player-friendly. Now, Austin has talked about this publicly, that he was playing through some, like, you know, legit injuries this past season. He gutted it out, and he stayed on the field for the most part. Obviously, had that mini break at the beginning of the year. But coming back from that ankle injury, he never looked totally like himself. So for him, the reality is that you're probably playing on a one-year deal this upcoming offseason. And I'm telling myself, if I'm Austin Eckler, I am waiting for the single best fit available. It's less to me about a competitor versus a team on the rise versus a team that's probably not going to play important football this year. I want to find the best fit for me to get my value back on track a year from now. Do you have an idea of a fit, Mike?
Yeah, 29 years old. So now he's really getting up there. That is a concern. Yeah. I think that will concern teams and hurt his market. Still 6th at running back in targets last season. So I do think he can be an asset in the passing game, even if he's not going to be a guy pushing for 200 carries, which he hasn't done much. He's only done that,
correct,
I think it was 2 years prior to last year falling back to earth. So I put him on, how about this one? The Browns.
Ooh,
now, obviously, frisky. Nick Chubb. There's some talk about him being a cut candidate because of his contract, his age, coming off the injury.
I
think they restructure and he comes back, but he might not play early on in the season. That was a major knee injury.
They keep saying at some point during the 2024 season.
Yeah, so I think Eckler's a good fit. If Chubb can't come back, Eckler's a guy that could team up with Jerome Ford, and that's their backfield for the season, and they can make it. They can make it 1 year. If Chubb does come back, you're a team that's going to try to win the Super Bowl next year. They're built to win the Super Bowl. They want to win the Super Bowl.
Sure do.
Eckler and Chubb is a terrific backfield. It gives you more depth at the pass catcher position, which is an issue they had this past year. So I think that's an interesting landing spot. If he doesn't have the market to be a clear lead back, I don't think he'll have that.
I like that as well. I actually took a team that I was not all that excited about, to be honest. But
it's okay.
I kind of wanted to see him go to the Giants. Honestly, I think Saquon's going to leave
there. Are you forecasting what your Saquon Barkley prediction?
Saquon is not. I do not believe that Saquon is going to go back to New York. And as a part of that, if I'm the Giants, I just need Daniel Jones to work out. Like, and that's one of the things that we'll talk about. Either whether or not the Giants move on from Daniel Jones Field as a part of all this conversation with where their draft pick is at.
Yeah, easier said than done.
It is. Yeah. And so this is the thing. If you need Daniel Jones to work out because you're not going to replace him with a quarterback this early, give me a running back that's going to give. And I know that he had that in Saquon, but I'm going to also project a couple other pieces to the Giants for what it's worth later on. A guy that at least can be able to give Daniel Jones a safety valve and someone that can hopefully help in this offense if they can get some wide receivers. So
I'll throw one last team out there. And this would have to be under the circumstances of Eckler probably waiting things out a long time. the Chiefs. In the event that Jerick McKinnon, who obviously, you know, just won his second straight Super Bowl, been a valuable member of that team, what?
Let's talk about how we don't want to send a superstar to the best
Everyone
team.
Hold on. Of superstar running backs.
Hold on. Not a superstar, but I said this would be a circumstance of him having to wait it all the way out, right?
Okay.
Right, like he'd have
but
to
still,
wait.
Come on,
I'm talking about like
perfect.
A very, yeah, that's, I realize how dumb that sounds now. I'm talking about a very modest deal.
No, right? I agree. Like, I am with
like
you.
Like if this, and I hate to even say the number, right? But if it's like a 1 year, $3 million deal, which like sounds like repulsively low for a guy with his credentials over the past couple of years.
Not to our listeners.
No, it doesn't. But I'm just saying like, you know, this to me, like.
Or us.
Yeah. A 1 year, $3 million deal doesn't feel repulsively low based on right, everything.
Like what I would do to make $3 million in 1 year. Like, yeah. I don't know what I would do. But anyways, yes. I'm just saying if like things go really poorly for him. And by the way, last year he requested a trade and there were no nibbles at all. Yeah. So we'll see. Let's move on to Tony Pollard and Saquon Barkley because we've been going heavy on time.
Yeah. Hey, Tony Pollard was tough. Running back 22 this season. We all had much higher expectations for him with Ezekiel Elliott coming out. Mike, I'm curious. I have a team that I want to send Tony Pollard to, but I want to know where you have him.
Just for the record, Chiefs for me. Just
actually, before we say
all
that,
of the Chiefs.
Before
just
you tell me
on.
Where you want him to go, though, I do want to ask you, who is Tony Pollard in 2024 after what we saw in 2023? Because I think there's a lot of question marks around him.
Yeah. As a complimentary back in Dallas, his efficiency was elite. He was outstanding. Great. Then he was the lead back, and he got a lot of volume, and the efficiency plummeted career lows last year as a pass, as a rusher and a receiver in efficiency categories. I think he'll meet in the middle somewhere. You know, he's going to be 27 years old, probably best served to be a change of pace back. He can be the lead back, but he's going to need more help. And I think he'll get that wherever he lands. So I'm going to reunite him with the guy he had his best NFL season with, Kellen Moore, with the Eagles. If DeAndre Swift, we'll get to him in a second. He's a free agent. How about we throw Pollard in there? Maybe someone else along with Pollard. I don't know if they have that guy. Maybe Kenny Gainwell's that guy, but I think they'll keep working on that backfield. But I think Pollard's a good fit with Kellen Moore in Philly.
Okay, I can see that one. I have first of all, again, I know we're both doing it, but my big question would be, does Philadelphia ever break the bank for a running back? Would
yeah, and, but it, is he is Pollard going to break the bank?
That's a I think question. It's a one-year deal. Yeah, it's got to be a one-year deal.
I was hesitant on that just because Eagles don't spend there. But again, they went after... DeAndre Swift last year, I know it was a cheap trade, but I don't know if Pollard's going to be super costly.
Do you have one?
I had the Eagles as well.
Okay, Eagles? All right, I'll throw a different bird.
Because of the committee. I like everything that you just said of like, I want Tony to go back to a spot where he's not the lead back, and I feel like the Eagles are not interested in giving one guy the ball 280
times. I want him to go somewhere where he can be the lightning to someone's thunder. I think maybe that's Arizona. A team that may not want to necessarily spend there because they got a lot of other needs. But James Conner can do sort of the heavy lifting, the proverbial heavy lifting, and Tony Pollard can maximize his speed and agility on some of those perimeter runs, out in space runs, screens, et cetera, that he excelled with during his time in Dallas.
So I think then if the Eagles want to just have like a committee, you just bring in Pollard to do like a lot of both, and then you bring in Eckler for passing downs and Derrick Henry for early down to goal line.
Yes.
I don't see a problem with that.
What's the problem?
I don't see any issue with that.
Just got a $30 million increase in the cap. You can
use it
up,
man.
Finally, sign all those guys. All right. I thought that Saquon Barkley was going to move on from the Giants. That's a thing that I, where I am at, he was running back. I'm sorry, I just lost it. 8 this season. Again, missed 3 games as well. This is a guy that I still think is a superstar. I need to see him in a team with an offensive line. The Giants' offensive line has just been so tough, Mike. When you look at Saquon, do you think that there is still room for him to continue to grow from a fantasy perspective, or have we seen his best days already behind him?
Well, he's had one full season. That was when he was a rookie. So he's missed games every other year. And honestly, you look at his efficiency as a receiver, 3 straight years, terrible.
Yeah.
As a rusher, below average, average at best. I mean, he's one of them guys that has the name value, but that ceiling has not been there that we saw from him as a rookie in the pedigree he came into the league. So
he's a better version with that of Najee Harris bit. Is what you're describing.
I wouldn't go that far. He definitely could do a lot as a pass catcher as well. So that one I struggle with a little bit. I don't know if I was running a team, I wouldn't be super interested in paying what might be the market for him.
Sure.
That being said, we know somebody who's an owner and a GM who will spend a lot of money on big names, and that is, of course, Jerry Jones. I'm going to Dallas.
Wow. That's interesting. I'm concerned about Dallas because they have so many contracts that got to get sorted out. I know we can make our January jokes for the Cowboys, but Is there a team with better top end talent than Dallas in the NFL?
They're up there. They're top three.
They're definitely up there. Yeah, I mean, like Zach Martin's like first ballot Hall of Fame guard who makes a ton of money. You've got Micah Parsons is going to be the highest paid defensive player ever. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Dak Prescott might be the highest paid quarterback of all time. CeeDee Lamb is going to be right there for the very top of the wide receiver market. Trayvon Diggs got signed to a big money deal this past year. You know, like there are guys
Jake
on that
Ferguson.
Team.
Oh, I never.
Dude, a year from now, watch out. He will get
there.
Jake Ferguson's a stud. Like, yeah, so anyways, awesome. I did not pick the Cowboys for any of them because I just don't see that team is willing to spend big money at. However, I will offer one other team in the state of Texas.
Oh,
how about the Houston Texans?
Yeah, okay. I have them on my list here for an upcoming guy.
Oh, actually, okay. Wide receiver.
Coming up soon here.
Yeah. Quarterback. Kirk Cousins to the Texans. Yeah,
that's
Mike Blake.
That's right. Well, Stroud's going to the Chiefs, though.
That's right.
Part of the package.
Need a good backup. Look, I got it. You ready?
A priority now.
I get it now. The Chiefs are signing Austin Eckler. So they can eventually trade into the Texans.
That's what it is.
So they can have the best 1-2 combo quarterback in NFL history.
If you read like through replies to tweets and stuff, these are the dots that get connected.
Unfortunately, you can't read through the replies of tweets anymore because literally none of them are safe for work.
That's true.
You don't like the nudity? You're not into that?
It's very aggressive.
You have two daughters just like I do. You know that app is a bizarre spot. Texans would intrigue me though because they got by with minimal in terms of investment last year at the running back spot.
Yeah.
I do think this is a team that probably will be taking a bigger picture view and say that they will go through the draft to find one of those running backs. The only thing I'll say about the Houston Texans right now, and I know this, and I think it will become more obvious once we get to free agency a couple of weeks from now. Write this down, mark it down, whatever you want to do. NFL players want to play with CJ Stroud already. That's the kind of gravitational pull he has.
And their offense might look shockingly different next year. I mean, you have Tank Dell coming off the injury. You have Nico Collins. Otherwise, Robert Woods could be gone. Noah Brown could be gone. Dalton Schultz is a free agent. Devin Singletary is a free agent. Is Damian Pierce back? That could all look different behind those two guys.
So. But some of the stuff you hear about the pull that CJ Stroud has, you're like, you know, there are certain athletes that just the rest of the league like always has. I mean, I think all of us have like a ton of affection for CJ Stroud. The guy's awesome, right? But it's pretty impressive that 1 year into his career, he already might be on like that short list of like, I want to play with him. Right? If you're a wide receiver, why wouldn't you want to play with him, by the way, after what he did as a thrower this past year?
I think some of our, and I think we probably all agree on this, when you go into a draft next season, one of the things we're going to tell people is like, make sure you get one Texan.
Just one.
Let's just make sure you get one. At least one. You know,
it's worked so well by saying always draft the chief wide receiver over the past few years.
Yeah, it's been great.
Stop.
I mean, you probably want to come out of there with Dell or Tank or Nico if you can. Right. Like, and we'll see who else lands there.
Heck yeah,
man. Once they sign Austin Eckler, we can also get him playing a slot receiver, right?
He's going to play for multiple teams, yes.
Yeah.
I got two more running backs I want to talk about. One of them, Mike, was your former running back, and my former running back, DeAndre Swift, who had over 1,000 yards rushing for the first time in his career, which was great, but that came at the expense of basically all of his pass-catching ability. Only 39 catches, 214 receiving yards. It kind of was the opposite of everything we'd seen from DeAndre Swift so far in his career. So just moving forward, understanding the way that you saw the Lions use him, understanding the way we saw the Eagles use him, how do you projecting that he, you know, kind of susses out in 2024?
Yeah, so this is kind of like the Tony Pollard analysis, right? So he was fifth in the NFL in rushing yards last year. He played a career-high 16 games, had a career-high 268 yards. Guys, he had his career worst finish in fantasy points per game.
Yep.
It was his worst fantasy season on a per-game basis, despite that workload. So probably best served to be, again, in more of a shared backfield. You can say that for a lot of guys in the NFL. So I put him on actually the Raiders with Zamir White, who impressed down the stretch last season. I think that's a good fit. You let both of those guys kind of cook in that backfield. I think that that could work.
My sheet in front of me says Vegas. What it's worth.
No way. There you go.
Are you going there soon? Or just? Oh, that was your team.
No, that was my team. That was what I was picking him. Pairing with Zamir White.
I'm trying to lose a lot of our listenership right now and our viewership, so I want him to go to the Chiefs. Get him a number 13. It's a perfect match. Swift, Chiefs, number 13.
That's good. All right.
No, that's really good.
I actually predicted last offseason we did predict a trade. I didn't go into the Chiefs for, I think it was Willie Gain, a draft pick or something
that's
like that.
That's so funny.
Okay. All right. So fine. I'll actually just, you know what I'll take? I'll just take like for the eight people that are still listening after that attempt at humor. How about the Rams?
Okay.
Someone's got to spell Kyron Williams a little bit.
Have to
and they need help. Somebody a bit more dynamic than what they had. They had, you know, Ryan Rivers, exclusive rights free agent who was retained. And I mean, like Royce Freeman making a semi comeback last year. Like, I understand, like, my guess is that Sean McVay values too much, like, the guys that are reliable in pass protection and do kind of little things right, which might not necessarily be like DeAndre Swift's the guy that, like, he might have five kind of average plays and then one spark play that you're like, oh, that guy is sweet. So that might not be the archetype that the Rams are looking for, but they need to add a second back.
You're trying to pair DeAndre Swift with former Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford, get them back together?
Well, you are moving to Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Just,
that is, all that the is thing, yeah. Michigan yeah. men are going to Los Angeles.
I hope that. Listen, anything to give me that weather. Anything other than what we've had the last couple of days. All right, we got one more running back.
It's a big one, literally.
We talked about it. Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
This is a guy that has been the guy for the Texans, or excuse me, for the Titans field for quite a while. Yeah. No, I am not forecasting. No, I have a different team that I'm going to send him to.
Okay.
But we saw him slow down this year.
Yeah.
Part of that, and I think, is because of age and a little bit of where he's at. Part of that is because teams just knew that they didn't have to do anything else other than basically stop the run in Tennessee. So when you look at Derrick Henry, how do you feel about him in 2024?
I feel good about him on a one-year deal somewhere. Okay. I have two teams that come to mind. One, but I have to go to the one that I think is, I think probably a lot of people are going to be thinking this. How about the Ravens?
Yeah, like, I think people that's are, like 90% of the dot connecting is to the Ravens.
The Ravens, I think he was, you know, there were some conversations last year around the deadline about whether he would end up there. The only way, and I know that I keep talking about the Cowboys cap woes, but if Derrick Henry said, all I want to do is go somewhere with a chance to win this year, and I'm willing to take a very modest deal as a result of it, which, by the way, we have seen from running backs on occasion. The Cowboys need for like a little more beef to finish off drives or to finish off short yardage situations will lend itself perfectly to Derrick Henry. I think back to that game against the Dolphins. They end up losing late in the season in Miami. And there's that play where the screen grab has been shared a million times where it's like somehow Tony Pollard doesn't score on a run in which he is like literally, like, I don't know, a yard from the end zone with no one around him. And they subsequently fumbled like a play or two later when they handed the football off to Hunter Lepke, their fullback. So he would be a great finisher in Dallas, but I'm going to go with Baltimore instead.
Yeah, I like it. It was easy to go Ravens. It's easy to go Ravens. Everybody's picking the Ravens. So I decided to pivot off of that. So I went, you mentioned the Cowboys staying in the state. The Houston Texans.
Dude, I've already given them Saquon Barkley. Are they going to go for a 2-4?
They're trading him to the Chiefs so they could sign Derrick Henry. By the way, it's funny. We talk about Henry, you know, taking a step back. Still sixth in yards after contact. Still very good in that department. And how about this? I think this is easy to forget because you had a lot of Tajay Spears who basically split snaps with him. Derrick Henry led the NFL in carries again this past year. Like, it doesn't seem like he did, but
he never
did, and he just continues to get the job done, was still effective. So I'm with you. I think a one-year deal, maybe two for cap reasons, probably a one-year deal somewhere makes sense. I like Houston just the way they're going. People want to go there. That's a team that can make a big leap in the AFC.
Also, good backup quarterback insurance to C.J. Stroud is Henry, I think, is now 7-for-8 in his career as a thrower.
Very efficient.
Very efficient thrower. Because teams, can you blame them for thinking, like, when it's first and goal from the four that he's going to run the football?
Yeah.
You can't blame them for defending that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, they're not going to run Stroud in. Like, he's not going to scramble much or, you know, do the tush push or anything. So it works out perfect for fantasy. Either they're throwing touchdowns with Stroud or Henry's running them in. So it makes it easier to predict.
Will the tush push be around next year? Yay or nay? Let's vote as if we're the competition committee.
I think so. Okay. I think yay. I'm just curious how good it's going to be without Jason Kelce.
Yeah. If he retires, we're not sure yet.
I guess we're not decided,
but I think yay, and I think it's because Eagles just like fell apart. Like had that been a thing all the way through the playoffs and the Super Bowl again, everyone would have been up in arms, and then maybe. But since they kind of disappeared, and they were
now
like,
it makes sense. They were playing the long game.
That's what it was.
That's it.
We need to sacrifice the rest of this season.
Yep,
100%.
The greater good.
They were playing chess.
Yeah,
that's what I tell myself at night.
Yeah,
that's how we cope. This is all part of the plan.
This is how we cope right now. Yeah,
I had Derrick Henry going to either the Ravens to pair with Keaton Mitchell because I just love that thunder and lightning ability there, or the Dallas Cowboys. Again, kind of that same thing.
We're really thinking.
So
I'm sharing brains right now.
Hey, let's move ahead and talk about wide receivers. And we're going to start with a guy that was on the list, but is now removed off it. T. Higgins got the franchise tag. We found that out today from the Cincinnati Bengals. Kind of felt like that was going to happen. We were sort of expecting it. So with him returning field, do you see anything different? Because this was sort of a down year for T. What is it that you look at 2024 and how it can be different for that Bengals offense?
What I'm most interested in is whether they get a deal done with T. Higgins in the long term, because you're right. Usually you want to go into your free agency or your franchise tag period coming off of a high note. He did not come off of a high note this past season, which is 42 catches. Obviously missed time due to injury. Did have some special moments late in the season, that game against the Vikings where he had that ridiculous like sprawling leap for the end zone touchdown grab. really talented player. And like, this is one of those where, like, if you're the Bengals and if you're T. Higgins and you find some common ground, it's going to be because you acknowledge he's like a 6'3" freak who's really, really good. Mm-hmm. But this, I think the Cincinnati offense, though, has a chance to be like, they could be this year, like this past year's version of the Ravens, where it's like the really, really awesome team is just sitting there. Like, what's the expression? Hiding in plain sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you're like, last year they were 9-8 and their quarterback missed most of the season and they struggled out of the gates. Like, mm-hmm. they could be awesome this year and go nuclear on offense by doing exactly what they did a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen Higgins' ceiling yet. Super boom bust last year. Believe it or not, he was actually a top 10 score receiver in one third of his games. It was the eighth highest rated receiver. He was just outside the top 35 every other week. So we need more consistent production from him. Yeah, absolutely. He was a 49er. But only 33rd in fantasy points per game when Joe Burrow played with him last season. But it's a small sample, five games. Yeah. We've seen better in the past. So I do think he bounces back this year. And I'm going to make a bold prediction here. Okay. I think he lands with the Bengals for next season.
Oh, what? That's a big
one.
That's
my projection.
That was not mine, so I guess we can debate that one.
I was actually going to go another direction, but then he got tagged. So,
so there you go.
It's no fun.
Can't have fun with that one.
Ruined it.
Hey, we can have fun with this one because I'm the Gabe Davis truther of our group, and I don't know what to do anymore, guys. I want to say this. Gabe Davis is going to be a free agent, and then he took to social media to make sure that everyone knew how good he was. 2020 to 2023, we have the post here if you're able to watch it. First in the NFL in first down rate, in touchdown rate, average depth of target, yards per reception, explosive reception rate, 33 total touchdowns, and 15.8% target rate was 47th in the NFL. It's trying to say he did not get the ball enough. I got to be honest, when I look at this and I'm trying to figure out what's going on, what is it that I want to do with Gabe? I have no idea how the guy who was wide receiver 49, averaged 9.5 fantasy points per game, is going to be in a better situation than he was just in with Josh Allen. So I don't know. I can't project him to be better. I understand if he's going to go somewhere. Maybe he turns into the, quote, wide receiver one of a team like Carolina. That's a spoiler alert, maybe what I'm thinking. But I don't like that more than him having Josh Allen under center.
Yeah, I'm
so
with
you.
So
where are you guys at?
let me ask you a question. How many top 35 fantasy seasons does he have?
35 fantasy seasons? None.
This feels none. Like how many seasons has he finished top 50 in catches?
In catches?
None.
Zero, yeah.
Zero times, yeah. You know how we were just talking about like DeAndre Swift and Tony Pollard, and it's like, well, when you're like a situational guy, your efficiency looks great. Yeah. And it's the same thing a wide receiver, right? Totally. It's his role, right? Yeah. He's only getting these downfield throws and a really good offense with an elite quarterback, but he hasn't demanded the ball. Like, he hasn't earned more targets. And maybe, by the way, maybe he's right. Maybe he should have a 25% target share and he'll thrive elsewhere, but we haven't seen that so far. So I'm not getting too...
I ask a question about that? Because if that was the case, it's like you would... We see the Bengals, last year notwithstanding, like they find ways to get the ball to both of their wide receivers. If Gabe Davis was good enough to demand 10 targets a game, wouldn't the Bills be giving him the ball 10 times a game?
I tend to agree with that. Yeah, I think
I feel like all Bills fans are sitting here that are listening and watching and like, yes, thank you. Totally
I love
agree.
Gabe. I mean,
but he was in the, like, maybe not the perfect spot, but a pretty darn good one. Yes. He has the strongest armed quarterback, or at least on the very short list of strong armed quarterbacks in the NFL playing with him. When that video went live and those various stats were shared, it made me think of Kyle Soppe, longtime researcher of this show, who was the best because I could throw Kyle the single most asinine argument and he could find a statistical case for it. Like, I could be like, can you just please get me the Patrick Mahomes sucks argument?
Yeah.
And he'd be like, Patrick Mahomes went down by 10 or more points in the third quarter or later, playing on the road in a climate controlled environment during dollar beer weekend was 0-5. And you're like, thank you. That was all I needed, right?
I needed.
Like, case in point, Patrick Mahomes sucks. So like that, like extremely specific, like all the qualifiers, you know, excluding the 2023 year, interesting decision right there. Happy for Gabe wherever he lands, but this is if Gabe Davis gets a multi-year deal for a whole bunch of money, he will be the face of what the perils and upside of free agency is worth, right? Because he either is going to go somewhere and far exceed that number. Like, if Gabe Davis got 3 years, I'm gonna make this up, $54 million, that's $18 million per year. Okay, he will either approve to be completely worth it and a whole lot more, or it will be the team that got stuck taking the cheese.
What did 2 years ago, this is going to connect a dot to where I was going to go with this, but what did MVS get from the Chiefs?
He had 3 years, $33 million.
It was only 33. That was a little more than that. But nonetheless, that was going to be one of my connections.
However,
if MVS gets cut, which is possibility.
Yeah.
I don't think the Chiefs maybe have the money for it, but could Gabe Davis be a replacement there? I actually have him going. The team I connected him to is the Falcons. I think it'd be a compliment to Drake London down there in a new look offense. But
hey, Mike,
I think the Chiefs.
Can we just throw the ball to Drake London first before we start getting them second wide receivers?
I'm with you. I didn't give him any pass catchers.
Well, he'll be. I mean, look, they're gonna new offense, Zach Robinson. They're gonna throw. It'll be a more balanced offense. There's room for him to be a complimentary guy there, but. I'm with you. I think he's looking at a situational deep threat guy. I look at, 15-17% target share, maybe. Yeah. Maybe what the Chiefs were hoping for with MVS. But that's a role he's played. He is the Bills MVS. That's what he's been the past couple of seasons. So I'm not as optimistic, as he is.
I'm with you on that one. I had him going to Carolina, replacing DJ Chark as the deep threat there. Okay. He could kind of become that wide receiver one rather than be a wide receiver two.
God, Carolina needs all these wide receivers.
Well, man. I've got another one that's going to go to him as well. Let's talk about
there.
It's
gonna be fun.
Third wide receiver here on the board, Mike Evans.
Yes,
guy that was unbelievable. Wide receiver 10 in fantasy points per game. Just another amazing season. This is one of those guys that just continues to produce. Field. I think I'm at the point now where I'm ready to jump on your bandwagon because I have Mike Evans going to the Kansas City Chiefs.
What?
This one makes way more sense to me.
Ooh, now that is fun. All right, make the case. I get it. Like, his quarterback will be okay, right?
It'll be fine. He'll finally have a decent quarterback to catch balls from. They do need a deep threat because they don't really have that. MVS hasn't totally worked out.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, right? Because, the Chiefs will no doubt attack wide receiver this offseason. For Evans, the allure of going to Kansas City would be he really feels as though he needs another championship because he obviously already has one in Tampa. Because the money is not going to be as good in Kansas City as I think it will be elsewhere, but the fit would be so obvious. So great.
Only thing that I wonder is this one of those situations, and I'm not talking football necessarily, but a guy's been with a team for 10 years. He feels like they've taken care of him. You know what? If they're going to keep doing that to the level that I think is worth it, I don't want to leave. I want to be one of those guys that's going to be in the same place for my entire career.
Lifetime buck, Florida, no state income taxes.
That's not a bad option.
Yeah, entering his age 31 season, I only did this with three guys because it's boring to do it for a lot of them, but I have him staying with Tampa. I think they bring back Baker Mayfield.
Can we kick this guy off the show? What the heck?
Not fun.
Yeah.
Not fun.
The Panthers are the most obvious other one, too. Yeah. We were talking about it earlier, but of course, Dave Canales, the new head coach there, Tampa influence, brought a bunch of guys from that Tampa coaching staff to Carolina. So don't be surprised if there are at least some players that are infused from Tampa Bay to Carolina.
Yeah. All right. Next one we have up, Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley had, it actually was a pretty good season in Jacksonville. Yeah. There was a part to me. I'll say this.
He had a Chris Johnson season. Do you guys remember that Chris Johnson used to always rush for 1,000 yards, but 212 of them would come in a game and you'd be like, what about the four games where he rushed for a combined 35
yards?
Right.
Quick
numbers on that. Six top 12 weeks, 9 games under 10 points last year, to your point.
Don't remind me, Mike.
Well, and a part of that was I came in with the expectation, and this is on me, but he had written that awesome article in the Players Tribune. He's like, I'm going to drop 1,400 and multiple and double-digit touchdowns. And so there was an expectation that I had sort of set fairly or unfairly about what I thought Calvin Ridley needed to achieve for me in fantasy football.
Dude, we are humans too. I read that piece and I was like, holy crap.
This guy's primed.
Dude, once Daniel picked me up after I tried to run through a brick wall, but I'm not very strong, so I just kind of bounced off of it. I was like, crap, I need to adjust my rankings a little bit here.
But still, wide receiver 27, I don't think anyone's going to say Calvin Ridley was not a good wide receiver this year. I'm curious, Mike, when you look at him for next year, first year back coming off the suspension, what is it that you think that he can be in 2024?
Well, I'll tell you what, he held up pretty good. I mean, the efficiency wasn't great outside the top 20 at receiver and receptions and yards, but check this out. Sixth in routes, second in expected touchdowns wide receiver, so he left a lot of them on the table, and seventh in touchdown catches with 8. He had 25 end zone targets last year.
Wow.
No one else had more than 20.
He led the entire NFL end zone targets.
Yes, by 5. It wasn't even close.
Huh.
So I feel like there was. I feel like the Jacksonville offense as a whole, maybe aside of Travis Etienne, left a lot on the table last year.
Yeah, sure. Maybe Evan Ingram, too. He had the most catches ever by a tight end.
And didn't score touchdowns, right? It was kind of an odd year for
them.
Who
needs touchdowns?
Apparently not Evan Ingram. So
Evan Ingram's always kind of been a chain mover, not really a touchdown maker,
That's absolutely true. But I wonder if he lands back in Jacksonville, maybe they get things together and take a leap forward. Just felt like a step back last year for Jacksonville, but they still have Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson, and maybe they bring back Ridley.
You know what's interesting is if they re-sign Calvin Ridley to an extension, they owe Atlanta a second round pick as opposed to a third round pick.
I saw that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Right. So how much that motivates the negotiations one way or the other, but just kind of interesting.
I think my point was just like the circumstance is probably better than it seemed. Like he was getting a lot of volume. He's on the field. So I'd be okay with that, but I predicted another team and that team is the Detroit Lions.
What?
How about that one?
Hey, now.
Let's add some, look, here's the thing with the Lions. I do this exercise at the end of the season. I wipe out all the free agents off those rosters and put back the guys from IR. And the Lions was quick. There's not many guys I had to pull from that team. They're pretty much all back. So they're going to have some money, and they have plenty of cap space as well. So they're going to be able to say, all right, let's re-sign some of our guys, and let's spend a little and reinforce some positions. And why not bring him in? I mean, Jameson Williams is a guy that could still be a star someday, but he hasn't done it yet. Why not bring in another standout receiver on the perimeter, put him with, we'll say, Jameson on the outside, and of course, Amon-Ra in the slot with Sam Laporta, the two good running backs, Jared Goff, the whole offensive line.
Stop that, I'm going to run through a wall, Mike.
Right, there you go. So I like that. I think it's a good fit there for him.
All right, I'll give you one more. It's too obvious. It's the closest team to where we are right now. It's the Patriots. The Patriots are desperate for wide receiver help, and I am firmly of the belief, and if you have been watching First Draft, you know this, the Patriots must take whichever quarterback is available at pick 3.
Right.
I don't care if that's quarterback 3 on your board. Take him. Opportunity cost. You can't bypass it. You can't go back with another season of completely substandard quarterback play. But you also owe it to that quarterback to do everything in your power to empower that quarterback with good pieces around him. The wide receiver market this year, as we have discussed, has some names. The Patriots have to be in on a few of these. And because of their cap situation, and because of the fact that they don't have a bunch of guys on long-term contracts or big money contracts, the Patriots actually are kind of like the Jaguars a couple of years ago, where they can justify a little bit of an overspend if it fills a dramatic need. And it's safe to say wide receiver is a dramatic need for the Patriots.
Yeah, so Demario Douglas is a keeper in the slot, but otherwise it should be wide open. Devontae Parker and Juju Smith-Schuster would be the next two guys at the moment.
And you could
Kendrick
see,
Bourne's a free agent.
Both of those guys could be back. You could also see both of those guys cut.
Absolutely.
Patriots just say, let's clean the books and just figure it out.
Yeah.
Dead money aside, let's just clean the books. So I think the Patriots must be in on wide receivers this offseason.
Yeah.
Must.
They got a lot to be able to figure out, too. I mean, there's a lot on that offense, not just wide receivers, but that is a big part of it.
Like, think about the change from the longest tenured and greatest football coach in the history of the sport.
Yep.
To somebody who has been a coach for a very short period of time, had not been a coordinator. Like, that's a dramatic shift just in general in New England.
I'll say this, and maybe I might be too old. I'm dating myself here, but when I was a kid, I remember watching the Red Wings when they had made the playoffs for 25 straight seasons. And then once that streak came to an end, they were bad for a while. I hope that doesn't happen because I've been a fan of a bad football team for a long time. I don't want that to happen in New England, in spite of the fact that it's kind of fun to be like, all right, well, you guys were good for a while. Now it's time for you to learn what sucking is like the rest of us.
Totally.
But ideally, you don't want that to happen. Hopefully, New England can find a way to not have to go through that.
But let me tell you the best way to do that. Nail this quarterback.
That's right.
If you nail this quarterback kick, you're in business. And I'm just telling you, I've watched countless number of plays for Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. Don't screw this up. One of those three, all three of those kids have the goods to be a longtime starter. I don't care. I don't care if your order is Caleb 1, Drake 2, Jaden 3. If Jaden is a third quarterback on your board and he's still there, which he will be, or somebody will be of those three, take him.
They should go the Commanders route and then they should trade for a second first rounder and take two of those guys and then just whichever one gets it, then they're safe and good to go.
Dude, totally. Why not?
All right. We got another couple of wide receivers. Hollywood Brown, kind of another disappointing season. I don't want to say another disappointing season, but felt like a disappointing season based on what we saw last year. Hurt again.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that I remember about 2022 was the fact that I thought it was a really good season, but he had lost some time, which was tough. And then you come into 2023, missed another couple of games, and he did not look like the guy that I thought he was going to. Only 51 catches and 574 receiving yards. So when you look at him, Mike, understanding what we've seen from Hollywood, both in Arizona with Kyler and in Baltimore with Lamar, who do you think that Hollywood Brown is going to be in 2024? Before you give him to a team, do you think that he's a top 30 wide receiver in fantasy football with his skills?
I don't think so at the moment. I had him in my initial ranks 39th at wide receiver, but obviously it was kind of open-ended to see where he lands. He's a tricky one. I feel almost like it's like Brandon Cooks Jr. Like teams can't seem to find a fit. Like he didn't stay in Baltimore and then he goes to Arizona. And now we'll see if he moves on from there, which is the expectation. Had two solid years, but was barely top 25 in fantasy points or right on that fringe the prior 2 years. The efficiency has not been good for him over the last couple of years. So he's really a tough one to figure out because the target shares have been good wherever he's gone. Again, it feels almost like a lesser Brandon Cook. So I put him on the Jets, actually, as a compliment to Garrett Wilson. Back to the Northeast. He was in Baltimore. Put him at, I think he's a really nice compliment there to Garrett Wilson on the other side. He won't have to be that alpha guy. And I don't think the Jets are going to go out and get like a Mike Evans or go after Devontae Adams.
They'll try that one too.
Yeah, I'm sure maybe. I don't know if that's the direction they end up going. But still, I think Browns
Devontae
are better
Adams,
fit there.
Garrett Wilson, Brees Hall, and Aaron Rodgers. It's like a Madden football team is
totally.
What that is.
Yeah, yeah. And we seem to agree. Adams probably staying put now. They kept Antonio Pierce. Evans, I don't think, goes there. So I just think it's a good, you can address the other positions, focus on defense, O-line, stuff like that. Obviously backup quarterback is going to be a priority for them. I just think Brown's a nice fit there.
Okay. I like the division. I have a different team though.
Ooh,
the Patriots. Bear with me here. No,
the Bills.
Nope.
The Dolphins.
If the market is not strong for Hollywood Brown, which who knows? I mean, coming off of a down season, a player who, as you mentioned, has kind of been up, sort of a difficult one to gauge. Why not go to the fastest offense alive and take your speed, because the Dolphins have been trying to fill that third wide receiver role, right? Mm-hmm. Like they signed Chosen Anderson. They traded for Chase Claypool. Neither one of those guys is anywhere near the player, of course, that Hollywood Brown is, but it was an indication that they feel like they need depth beyond just like the wide receiver three role. Like what if Jalen Waddle or Tyreek Hill is banged up? They saw what that looked like at different points down the stretch this past season. So this would be similar to what I was talking about with Austin Ekeler. If the money dries up, and he's finding himself facing the proposition of a one-year deal, Miami would be an intriguing spot.
Is he fast?
Yeah. Very.
Okay, that'll
very
be interesting. Fast. That's the end of the conversation. By the way, it's like overwhelming how good this draft is with wide receivers.
Including some Marquise Brown lookalikes.
But you know better than anyone, there's so many options. So that could limit the free agency market a little bit. The free agent class, we've talked about a couple good guys, but it dries up after this quick. So, I don't know, maybe that kind of limits the market a little bit on somebody who's kind of a tweener like Marquise Brown.
Here's my advice to the wide receivers out there, and they don't want to hear it. They probably just think that I'm an idiot, which might be true.
That's fair.
If you find a good deal, take it. I was saying the same thing last year to all those running backs early. I get it, but like when Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley were bypassing these multi-year offers, and I know they want the maximum, but sometimes the grass is not always greener, and I fear that could be the case with these wide receivers this year.
Yeah.
Not in the case of the next guy we're going to talk about, because I think this guy is going to make himself.
Position's just so deep, to your point.
Of course.
It's just so deep.
The 30th best wide receiver in the NFL right now, and you're like, oh, that guy's really good still.
Yeah, it's like there's almost no team that needs a wide receiver one. It's like you have to look at teams that have only one guy. I mean, there's a few. There's a few. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying there's a lot of teams that have two guys. You feel good about. Some have three. And that's with free agents pulled out of there. And then we're going to have this draft coming in.
We'll take one or two of those,
Wide receivers, this group of wide receivers needs to go out and get Kenny Galladay's agent. Because that guy knows how to be able to make it happen. All right, let's talk about Michael Pittman.
I think that Todd France, who I think Kenny might still be making money this year from somebody, somehow. Yeah.
Good guy.
This one's easy though, right?
Michael Pittman. Mm-hmm.
He's getting a tag.
Right? Wide receiver 14. Like he did most of the season without Anthony Richardson. I'm really excited to see what he looks like with Richardson mostly under center. But yeah, I don't know how you let him leave if you're Indy. You've got to bring him back.
The only way you let him leave is if you are literally negligent.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I don't think he goes anywhere. The only thing I'm going to see from him from a fantasy perspective is you see that number, if you're watching the video, receiving touchdowns. Four touchdowns and five end zone targets last season. 52 receivers had more end zone targets than him last year. And that's been a trend throughout his career. He's just been used as a possession receiver, but he has decent size. Like, they should be able to get him down the field more near the goal line. So maybe with Anthony Richardson, that'll change.
52 players had more end zone targets than Michael Pittman Jr. last year, including none of the good players in the Falcons.
I want to know who is the shortest player in the NFL with more receiving touchdowns than 6'4", Michael Pittman. Is there a guy that's 5'9" that has like six receiving touchdowns?
Did Rondell Moore have like six of them?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, Tyreek obviously is like 5'10", so that's a big one.
Think about Tyreek though, that when you see
sort of doesn't count.
He's like thick. He's jacked. Like he's got some power to him. I'm trying to think who's like a short king that just went off last past year. Receiving touchdown wise. Zay Flowers? Did he have more than four?
Jordan
not big.
Jordan Addison?
No, he's not big either. Yeah. He's a good one.
Yeah, he's another small one. Yeah, so Yeah, Addison had a lot.
He did have a lot of them. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's just a weird thing about Pittman. He just hasn't been used near the goal line yet, and hopefully that'll change with Richardson in there. So
yeah,
we'll see. He's a good player. I'm with you, though. I think he's tagged. I'm back in the Colts.
Yeah, I agree.
Tank Dell.
That's a good one.
Bam.
Good one.
Thank you for filibustering until I could get there. I appreciate
it. Small guys that play big. Tank, yeah.
You want to find small guys that play big, not big guys that play small, like Quentin Johnston. Red flag. And
yeah, like Josh Doctson, that was always like, ooh.
Oof.
Yeah, like.
However, Josh played so well that he got a fantasy game
made
after
him.
A fantasy league, which has been since been changed, right?
To the Jahan Dotson.
Yes. Unfortunately, Mike beat me. That was the one that Mike, for those that forget, barely scraped by in the finals by like 107 points.
That was the regular season. I think the championship was like 80 or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. However, there.
Mike, only who was your second quarterback that week? Oh, you had
none.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's tough. Yeah. That was that week where everybody's getting benched. Like Russ got benched, and it was just a mess. Yikes. Jarrett Stidham week.
Remember me sitting here during the podcast?
That seems like so long ago. Claims.
You're like, I got to pick somebody up.
Yeah, you literally added the quarterback. You sniped me on the show.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
Jarrett Stidham. Yeah. Joe Flacco.
That's what happened. But over the weekend, I was doing some work and I tweeted some stuff out about like injury rates, how often, you know, how many quarterbacks play in every game, stuff like that. And this was the worst year, maybe ever, that in terms of number of quarterbacks that have played at least 95% of the snaps on offense for teams. There was only 9 this year.
And you showed that it was like
10 years ago.
Josh Allen was the only one that played every game
Over the past 3 seasons. Since they went to the 17-game season, he's the only one that's played in every game. And he didn't even play 51 because there was, of course, the game that was canceled. Wow. So no quarterback has played all 51, which is obviously wasn't his fault. Well, you don't hold that.
I mean, if a guy has literally played every single game, there's just no way that you were legally allowed to be frustrated with him. So I think I have to recuse myself from
Daniel.
All those things, guys.
All these throwbacks to the season.
Right now. Okay, we're a couple months away from the end of the season. We're all like kind of refreshed.
Yes, that's right.
We've been able to realize what are good and our bad, you know, like what takes we have back, which ones we want to double down on.
That's right.
Speaking of takes, let's end on this one real quick. Do you think Michael Thomas, he's a free agent this year. Do you think that there is another fantasy relevant season left in Michael Thomas's body?
I do not. I just think the possibility of him holding out for a full 17 game season is too remote at this point.
Yeah. Do you know how many 14 point fantasy games he had last year?
14 points.
Zero.
Oh.
He did not reach 14 points at
Every
all.
Every question you've asked on the podcast so far, the answer has been zero.
That's right. That's right.
How many top 75 seasons does Gabe Davis have?
How much have I missed field to seven? No,
wow.
That's
I'll
a
see
lie.
You,
that's
I'll
a
see
lie.
You guys in July.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually, August. July's a good month here.
I did connect him elsewhere. Initially, I had T going elsewhere, as I mentioned, so I put him on the Bengals because the Bengals have all the Michael Thomases.
Yeah.
The safety Michael Thomas, the other Michael Thomas receiver.
That's right.
So that would have been fun. But I ended up, when I put T there, I put Thomas on Denver with Pete Carmichael and Sean Payton, a reunion from the New Orleans days, because there could be a shakeup there. Tim Patrick, they're going to have to redo his deal. He's coming off another major knee injury, and he's expensive with no dead money if they cut him loose. Is Cortland Sutton back on his deal? They probably have to redo that. Jerry Jeudy, do they move on from him? That could be a big shakeup.
That's a fully guaranteed $15 million for Jerry Jeudy, by the way.
Oh, he got the... No, wait, did they pick that up?
They did, but that was last offseason.
Right. So he'll be back then.
Yeah.
So it's just...
Well, he might not be, but I just... The idea of trading for Jerry Jeudy doesn't feel quite as exciting right now as it did a year ago.
Okay.
Or two years ago.
Yeah. All right. So my bad on that one. But still, if Sutton's not there, Patrick's not there, perhaps Thomas comes to three, something like that.
For those that are listening, you guys can decide. Like, given that Mike didn't realize that Jerry Jeudy had the fifth-year option picked up,
it's not acceptable.
Should he ever be allowed
on the podcast again?
No. All right. I can just...
Yeah. Michael, go work on his boxing projections.
It takes a lot for me to just be like, oh man, I just have to take the L there. I take a lot of pride in knowing all this stuff. So that one hurts me. That's like if you ask Field, like where did this punter go to college?
Probably Australia.
Like,
I don't know.
Or like who's the drummer?
Says, I don't know.
It's like crappy band and
same thing. That's right.
One random one. Like just to see if the machine is well oiled anymore. Is there a random player that you're like, where do you go to college?
Where did Danny Woodhead go to college?
He went to Shadron State.
Shut up! That was so good.
Wait, I mean, come on, everybody knows that one, right?
No.
Shadron State in Nebraska, like one of the great division.
That's
I think it's
not
Division
even a
II
real school. That doesn't sound.
Not only is it a real school. People who listen to this podcast from Shadron State are probably going to be like, dude, don't hate on us.
That's
now.
Amazing. No, shout out to Shadron State. Yeah. I love that.
Did you know that Danny Woodhead also was like a scratch golfer who I think nearly qualified for the U.S. Open this past year?
No, I did not know that.
Yes.
Who's the baseball player that's really good bowler? Staples 300.
Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts. Yeah, there you go. It's like that. It's just one of them. Some people are just, they have skills that we do not have.
I don't know many baseball colleges.
Speaking of guys that have skills, I want to close this podcast out.
Yeah.
One of the guys that I have read for a very long time, been a king and a titan in the industry, Peter King.
Pun intended there.
Absolutely. Announcing his retirement on Twitter.
Good for him.
So excited. Peter was one of the pieces. I mean, I used to read the Monday Morning Quarterback stuff like every single week.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious for you guys, if there was anything that you read for Peter, I just want to say congratulations. Dude, you have earned it. And the way that I have seen Peter reach out to so many other younger people, it feels like he's one of those stories where you just hear so many great things about the guy. In spite of the fact that I've never met him, I've heard nothing but good things about Peter. So I just wanted to say shout out to him. You've worked for a very long time. He absolutely has earned this retirement. So
yeah, absolutely.
Say 27 years writing that Monday morning column at a couple of different locations, obviously most recently NBC Sports, but for most of it at Sports Illustrated. And it was iconic. It was must read. Mm-hmm. It was something that everybody in the NFL found time for because you were unearthing gems, or Peter was unearthing gems that you would not otherwise have known. Incredibly gracious with his time to young people. I was very fortunate with Peter. When I used to live in Boston, Peter, at not that long ago, was living in Boston as well. And he very kindly and generously took some little slappy me out to the Holy Grain, a restaurant in the South End, for a sandwich, and could not have been more cool and gracious with his time. And
that's awesome.
I get the feeling that even though he's going to enjoy retirement, it's going to be hard for us to not hear a little bit from Peter, because when you have pretty much every important person at the football world at your fingertips, like if Tom Brady unretires next year, Peter King will get the first exclusive about what went into the decision, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. By the way, I have a story too, speaking of like praising industry superstars. So I was at Las Vegas actually right after like you left. Then they brought in the
B-team. You went to the expo, right?
I went to the FSGA conference. They brought the B-team out for that. So I flew out for that. And I was at, you know, the night it started, I was just kind of hanging out, meeting people, talking to people I know, fantasy footballers, had a great time chatting with them.
Shout out.
We'll get into this later on, but we hate them now. We gotta go at them. We'll get to that some other day.
We
love them, but we'll get to that.
We actually,
anyway, so talking to them, talking to other people. So some guy comes up to me and he was like, I just want to say, huge fan. Love ESPN. You do great work. Love seeing you on TV. Your content's great. You've been doing such outstanding work for such a long time, and I just followed it. And I just want to say, I'm a huge fan of you, Field Yates. So
Stop.
Did that really happen?
Swear to God.
Oh, that's amazing.
The only thing I changed is he said Field Yates first. I said Field Yates, and then started saying all that, and I just. I was like, well, you're like, I just, someone's going to say a lot of positive things to me now, so I'm just going to let this go for a while. I'll just pretend.
Oh, my gosh.
Be honest. If he had been like, all right, Field, like, first of all, you're the worst person alive. Like, I hate everything about you. Would you have cut him off, or would you let him continue?
I would have shut that down quick. Come on.
Man.
No, that was funny. He apologized 400 million times. But I was like, I'll take that all day. I'm Field Yates. Of course I am. What? I'll sign my baseball card for you.
I was just gonna say it. That's so good.
That was a funny little moment though. So
that is great. Shout out Las Vegas, and we hate the fantasy footballers. Is that what you said?
They're the worst. Yeah. So we decided, those guys. We were chatting with them, and obviously we get along with them. We love those
great
guys.
Yeah,
I told the story about the 55 confusing this year. People in the chat that we were making fun of them because it had nothing
55!
To do with them. Yeah, because Field didn't get the joke, so different. He was just yelling 55.
But we decided
at the end that, much like how Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Gordon used to, like, back in the day in NASCAR, Dale and them, they'd chat off the camera, be like, you want to sell t-shirts? Dale would say to Jeff, like, you want to sell t-shirts? Let's keep this going in the media. Like, we hate each other. Like, he was the rainbow car. He was the black car. He was a tough guy. So we were chatting, and we were like, so, all three guys were just like, we need to build this up. So there's animosity. We hate them now. We have to yell 55 and trash those guys. And then as we departed the conference, we screamed a bunch of explicatives across the conference on our way out. The ball is rolling.
Yes.
Now I just told everyone it's fake, but people in the future won't know that. Well, they're not going to know. There's only seven
people. We can clip this off right here. Jason, Andy, Mike.
Yeah.
We hate you. A lot. A whole lot.
Just cut that.
That's it.
No context. Let's just send that to
I just want that. Yeah.
Just that.
I'm just going to randomly post that on Twitter and just let it sit there. No context. accompanying, you know.
It's good for the
caption.
Brand, right? Then people tune into this.
It's subtweeting, right? We're not going to tag them. We're not, you know, just let it be.
We'll see what they say.
Somebody will cut that off for us, I'm sure. A fan will be like, you know, again, the seven people that are still watching.
It's going to be so hard because they are great dudes.
Yeah, they're great guys. And they're, by the way, like, their podcast is incredible. And just a heads up, people, like, there's a lot of real estate in fantasy football. So we hope, right?
Listen to them all. Yeah. It's fun. We love it. Yeah.
There's always room. This has been a ton of fun. I've loved seeing
you. Missed you guys. I know. It's been great.
Like I said, go check out Field doing First Draft every single Monday with Mel Kiper Jr. Yeah. It is a fantastic show.
Oh, too kind.
But for Mike and Field and I, don't forget to love each other. Be kind to yourself. We will see you guys next Monday. And go choke on a bar of soap, you footballers.
I was like, weird.
It's no secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail, you Alliance fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you.